when you are trusted with this amount. I will put you in charge of a larger amount. Come share your master's happiness. 22, the one who received $4,000 came and said, Sir, you gave me $4,000 and I've doubled that amount. And again the master said, Good job. You're good and faithful. You've proved that you can be trusted with a small amount. I'll put you in charge of a larger amount. Come share your master's happiness. Then the one who received $2,000 said, Sir, I know that you're a hard person to please. You harvest where you haven't planted and you gather where you haven't scattered any seeds. I was afraid, so I hid your $2,000 in the ground. Here's your money. Now the master's reply, You evil and lazy servant. If you knew that I harvest where I haven't planted and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have at least invested my money with the bankers. When I returned, I would have received my money back with interest. So he says, take the 2,000 away from him, give it to the one who has 10,000. To all who have, more will be given. And they'll have more than enough, but everything will be taken away from those who don't have much. Throw this useless servant outside into the darkness. People will cry and be in extreme pain there. So setting a goal to be productive is important. And talking about spiritual growth, you must set goals to be spiritually productive. Some of you plant winter ryegrass to cover your lawns so that the winter gray and brown don't shine through. Well, in Matthew 13, verse 4, there's a farmer who planted seed. And verse 4 says, Some seeds were planted along the road. Birds came and devoured them. Others were planted on rocky ground where they had little soil. The plants sprouted quickly because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, they were scorched. They withered because their roots weren't deep enough. Other seeds were planted among thorny bushes, and the thorn bushes grew up and choked them. Other seeds were planted on good ground and produced grain. They produced 160 or 30 times as much as was planted. Let the person who has ears listen. Looking around the room, all of you have two of those. We must listen to be productive in our spiritual growth. We must take the warning here. In the chapter, it goes on and defines the understanding, which I think is very clear to you. But you must become very productive in your spiritual life. There's another story from Christ, and I'm reading things, and these things are from Christ, so that you see the solidity and the solemnity of this topic, about a story about a fruitless tree. Now that's in Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. Every so often in life, you've planted a tree that hasn't borne the kind of fruit you need, or has lost its leaves, and some of them might have to do with the planting. Some of them might have to do with soil conditions. But here in Luke 13, verse 6, it says, Jesus used this illustration. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went to look for fruit on the tree, but didn't find any. He said to the gardener, For the last 3 years, I have come to look for figs on this fig tree, but haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up good soil? But the gardener replied, "Sir, let it stand for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. Maybe next year it'll have figs. But if not, then cut it down." There are so many people that we have known that have not attended with us now. And for varying reasons. And I know that some of that is because they did not produce spiritually. There was no spiritual growth. And so they were cut out. Now, Jesus says he's the true vine in John chapter 15. Every Passover season, we read through those verses. And we need to realize that we get all this nutrition from above. But our goal has to be that we want to take in that nutrition. It says in John 15, the first 8 verses, "I am the true vine, and my Father takes care of the vineyard. He removes every one of my branches that doesn't produce fruit." He removes every one of my branches is how this translation covers it. These are ones who could be attached to the great King, Jesus. But they're removed because they're unproductive. He goes on to say he also prunes. He prunes every branch that does produce fruit to make it produce more fruit. Now, when we look at our lives, do we see spiritual fruit? Christ goes on to say, "You are already clean because of what I have told you. Live in me and I will live in you. A branch cannot produce any fruit by itself." And therein is part of the problem. People may think that spiritual growth comes about because you do it. Spiritual growth has a lot to do with the great beings, God the Father and Jesus Christ. All you are is a vessel in which these strengths come together. But you have to be wanting and desiring that kind of growth. Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who live in me will, while I live in them, will produce a lot of fruit. But you can't produce anything without me. Whoever doesn't live in me is thrown away like a branch and dries up. Branches like this are gathered, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you live in me and what I say lives in you, then ask for anything you want, and it will be yours." Now, there is one of the things that we need to realize, too, that when we want something and it does not happen, it might be because it isn't time, but it might be because we are not living the right way and letting Christ live in us. 8 concludes, "You give glory to my Father when you produce a lot of fruit, and therefore show that you are my disciples." Now, this is a great time for us to consider goals. Here we're at the beginning of a year, 2015, and goal setting is really having a lot to do with God's law in action. You can think, what will the future bear for you if you work on your goals? Now, there are a few ground rules that I want to bring to your attention about setting goals and achieving them. There are 5, and it's 5 that boils down to an acronym. Sometimes we have these little things that we can put together. And the word is SMART, S-M-A-R-T. And if you put those down in a column, every one of them promotes then a phrase. S stands for set the goal. It must be specific. Two, the goal must be measurable. And I'll go through these again. The goal, A, is aligned with your values. And I trust then your values are godly values. R, the goal must be realistic. And T, the goal must be time-bound. Maybe you would use a word or the phrase time-measured. So S, the goal must be specific. M, the goal must be measurable. A, the goal is aligned with values. R, the goal must be realistic. And T, the goal must be time-bound or measured. SMART. If you were to dream a little right now about where you would like to be with your spiritual goals in 1 year, what would that dream be? I gave the last sermon going through how it's important to live each day as if it were your last day. And I mentioned as a second point of that sermon, goals. And so I'm elaborating a bit more on the subject of goals with you today. And I bring it up now so that you see the frame of it is something that I'm learning about in these advanced years that I have. And there's more years to come. But I must learn how to achieve even better growth spiritually. And so I bring this to your attention today. So how do I want it to be in a year? How do you want to be spiritually in a year? Over here in the kitchen, I can see it right through there. There's a microwave. Achieving goals isn't like microwaving a dish in the oven, the microwave oven. It isn't just boop, and it's real quick and it's done. Our microwave has a setting for reheat, and that's a wonderful gadget for me when I'm looking for leftovers. We got this plastic dome that we put over the plate and hit the reheat, and it does something on its own. It thinks for itself, and in a minute, 2-3 minutes, lunch or whatever is reheated for me. But setting spiritual goals and achieving them isn't microwave. It's more like the crockpot approach. You know, you put that roast in there with some vegetables or whatever you're making, chicken, and it's got buttons on there if you got a newer one. We've got an old crock pot that just got an on and off, but our newer ones have low and high and amount of time, and you can even get him with switches that are entirely variable. I saw a crock pot the other day that had a stirrer in it. Had two electric cords. I guess for your soup. I don't know. But at any rate, that crock pot approach takes time. And you know what you guys do. Your wife's got something in the crock pot. You wonder how it's doing. You go take off the lid and you look in there and smell. It's not doing nothing. It's not nearly where you want it to be for dinner. It takes all day long. It might take 12 hours, especially if she's bought a real tough chicken. You know, that bird sometimes, cheap birds take forever to get tender. And it's one of these things. We just have to let it kind of grind on, and it heats so slowly and works at it. But that's how we work at our spiritual growth. We must work at it. We must grind at it some. It's just not something that happens so quickly. So you have to plan, and then you have to execute the plan. Some of our young people are going through college and university. They don't achieve 4 years of studies in their degree very quickly. They got to grind it out. See, my number one goal is to serve God in His kingdom. And it's important that you phrase what your goal, your spiritual goal is. If it's, I want to be in His kingdom, it's the wrong goal. It's selfish. I want. It's taking. It's getting. Your goal has, I want to give. So you want to serve in God's kingdom. And as Mr. Armstrong said in that booklet years ago, setting the right goal is so very important. So if you want spiritual growth, you must set the goal properly in your mind, have that right focus and attitude. So I have to ask, how can I ensure that I will do this? I have to inventory where I am right at that moment, you know, and take a good look at the self. And I must hunger for achieving that goal. So I now have 7 points for you that will help you achieve the goal of serving God in His kingdom. These 7 are so basic, you'll get tired of writing them down. And think, Zimmerman, can't you be more imaginative than that? Number 1, prayer. Number 2, study. Number 3, read. Number 4, meditate. Number 5, fasting. Number 6, church attendance. And number 7, repentance. Now I'm going to go through these 7 points, and along the way, we're going to use that acronym, SMART. So the first one is pray. How is my prayer life now? What do I pray for? Do I pray for knowledge? Do I pray for wisdom? Are my prayers clear or are they rambling? When I pray, is there clarity? You see, in all of these areas, there has to be SMART. If you want to include some spiritual growth in your prayer life, it's got to be specific, measurable, aligned with God's qualities, realistic, and time measured. Now, I'm not one in saying time measured that prayer needs to be by the clock, although that's a good place to start. You should pray until your prayer is done. And if it's 5 or 10 minutes, then you need to figure out more about life. Prayer should be involved with you talking to God as long as you need to talk to Him about what you need to talk about. It's very clear. So your prayer life now needs to be very specific. It needs to be measurable. It needs to be aligned with godly values. It can't be a rambling, sleepy time thing. It must be, I think, framed by the words of Proverbs so often, of knowledge and wisdom. So often, if one will pray for wisdom, if you've got things going in the right way, God will grant the wisdom. And there is an amazing thing that happens when He grants you wisdom. Now, we do have a few younger people in the room. I would encourage you to consider that. Wisdom doesn't come to the youth naturally. But God can fulfill something for you supernaturally. So be realistic in your prayers. Number two, study. How often do I study? What do I study? Where do I study? Another well-known scripture, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Information is the foundation of wisdom. There's all kinds of things that you do not know. I've been here a little while, and I asked Joy a question today, which she found an answer for me. I've heard it once a year for 4 years, Gasparilla. And I didn't know what it all meant, so we got a little education on Gasparilla. And so I had to study that. Now, that's not too theological or godly, is it? In fact, that has a lot to do with crime and pain. But what do you study? Do you study God's Word? How often do you do that? Where do you do that? Is your study then organized? Is it specific? Is it measurable? Is it done with the right alignment of your life? Don't study if your life isn't aligned properly. It just won't work. You need to make sure that your mind is set in the right direction before you study. Be wanting and hungering for knowledge and wisdom. Your study must be realistic. Sometimes we embark on studies that are unrealistic, that are beyond us at that particular point. It's just spinning our wheels. Your study should be time-bound. You should know that you have enough time to study. Point three is read. Now, we read the Bible, but also we should study the Bible. There was not long ago, well, I guess in many of the sermonettes and material that's covered here, you can take one little verse and go through it and really expand it. We're going through a study here in Daniel. Take some small book and expand it. There's various things you can do when you study. It's completely different than reading. If you look into the subject of how to gain forward momentum and motion in your life, you'll find that there's called a 30% rule when it comes to this subject of reading. 30% rule. 30% of your reading should be on topics that are not your usual diet of reading material. They should be outside your own field. So you're waiting in the doctor's office. There's magazines there. Maybe you're not a photographer. Well, pick up the one on photography. Read about photography. Brighten your understanding about that. Maybe it's something that you would generally eschew, like the People magazine, which is pretty useless. Now, maybe that's what's sitting there. Maybe you should scan the People magazine to see what other people are thinking about. Understand their false value system. So there's that 30% rule. Now, if you were in my home, you'd find that there's various things on the bookshelf. All kinds of books, history books, a lot of cookbooks. There's Bible books, all kinds of translations, commentaries, three different concordances, maybe four. All kinds of books. to help me in study, but also to help in reading. Joy and I have privileged to have a Kindle. And in that Kindle, there's about 500 books. All kinds of books. One of the most interesting ones to me is to read a cookbook from the 1800s at the White House. And how what life was like back then. But reading. So we ask, well, how do I read? What do I read? How long do I read? Do I read uplifting books and articles? Or do I read things that are salty and should be left alone? Thinking of salty reading, I've gotten a few things from Deacon Joe over here on occasion about the sea. They've been very good reading to me. I had no idea the problems with the Panama Canal, one of the things that he sent me recently. Maybe you're not into shipping, but maybe you ought to read about the potential strike on the West Coast. So you must stay hungry for knowledge and truth, and when you're reading, you're feeling that hunger. But if you don't have that hunger, if you don't want to learn, well, certainly you won't. So your reading must be specific. I'm going to read this. I'm going to read the autobiography, the autobiography of whoever the famous person is. It's going to be measured reading. It's going to be reading along something that's aligned with good topic. It's going to be realistic. And every day I'm going to read for 1.5 hour. Number 4 is meditate. How often do I meditate? Do you know how to meditate? If I asked you to define meditation, what would that be today? See, wisdom is information sharpened into a useful tool. Wisdom is information sharpened into a useful tool. And you sharpen that with meditation. When you're sharpening useful information, that is what meditation is. And so your meditation should be specific, measurable, aligned, realistic, and time-bound. You should set time to meditate. You should have something specific that you want to meditate about. You want to be sure that your meditation is measurable, that you can somehow understand something further at the end, that it's aligned with good values, that you're meditating on productive items, that it's realistic. Number 5 is fasting. How often do I fast? How is my attitude about fasting? Does my health permit me to fast? How long can I fast? Some of us can fast for a day or two. Some of us have health problems, can only fast for 16 hours. The Bible doesn't put a time frame on how long a fast is, except for the Day of Atonement. So if you want to fast for 4 days, you can. I would suggest a fast be more than 4 hours, though. So when you're fasting, is it specific what you're fasting about? Is it measurable? Can you put it down on a calendar and say, I'm going to fast once a month? There's some people that do that. There's some people that fast once a week. Some people have fast quarterly. Is your fasting realistic? Number six, attending church regularly. Now, the only true verse in the Bible that says that we are to attend services on a regular basis is in Leviticus 23. It talks about the Sabbath and how it's a holy convocation. That's how the chapter starts. There's another scripture we use that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, if you look through that and you study it, you'll find that it isn't talking about Sabbath services. Now, if you want to apply it that way, that's fine. And that's probably a good use of the scripture if you don't understand another meaning that's there. Ah, someone's challenging me now. I have to read that scripture. What's that all about? But how about church attendance? How is my church behavior? When we come to services, am I a fringer or am I friendly? A fringer on the edge, friendly in the midst. Am I on time because I hunger and thirst? Do I stay and talk because I hunger and thirst? As I said, you have to be hungry for this growth, this spiritual growth. The spiritual growth to serve God in His kingdom. So you should be rather specific and measurable, aligned in your values, realistic and time-bound when it comes to church attendance. It just comes to mind that if you're sloppy in that, you're probably sloppy in other things. Now, sometimes illness happens and we need to watch ourselves. We want to make sure that we're practicing quarantine and so forth when we're not well. But sometimes we let health decisions that the deciding we're not healthy really is a matter of we don't want to get up and get going to church. The number seven item was repentance, or is repentance. How often do I repent? What do I repent about? Now the sample prayer tells us that that is, should be our daily prayer. Our daily prayer should include repentance. If it's a lot of gimmies and gimme and gimme, you've got the prayer wrong. Now let me just give some of you mathematician capable people an idea. If you want to do the best results possible, it says in the books that you can read that if you'll do something 0.1% a day better, that at the end of a year that makes for 36% growth. So if you prayed for 0.1% more every day, in a year, you would be praying 36% more. But that takes a plan. And you have to hunger to do that. And so it goes with our study, with our repentance, with all the things that we can be doing. Just do it 0.1% more every day. And that will equal 36% growth in a year. So be smart in these areas of growth that you can think about. Have goals that are specific. Have goals that are measurable. have goals that are aligned with godly values, have goals that are realistic, have goals that are time-bound. I found a little way to put a play on words here, and I was thinking this, and I thought, I said, goal setting is an essential part of God's plan. Goal setting. Goal setting is not the plan. So make a plan and then execute the plan. Plan to understand and make growth, spiritual growth, for the sake of serving God in prayer, study, reading, meditation, fasting, attendance, and repentance. I started with Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What is your vision of spiritual growth?